Good morning.
Good morning.
Did anybody manage to take a vacation last month or December? If you have kids in school in New York State or had kids in school here, you know that we just had President's Week. I'm a Jersey guy, so I don't know what President's Week is. But here, it's like a second chance for a winter vacation. So, having that week, my wife and I, we and my wife is Pastor Rebecca Sheridan, serving in Syosset. We took our kids up to Stratton, Vermont. We enjoy skiing, and we wanted to take a few days on the slopes. That trip up last Sunday night, a week ago, in snow and ice is another story for another day, maybe. But once we were on top of that mountain, it was amazing. Fresh powder, we couldn't have timed better, an almost otherworldly experience away from it all. And our kids were just turning that corner with their skiing so that all of us were just about guaranteed to have a great time. You can probably see how it didn't take me long to connect that recent experience on top of a literal white mountain to this story of Jesus and the disciples on the mountaintop together today. In that story, Peter, James, and John followed Jesus up their mountain to pray. And while they're there, they have a vision of Moses and Elijah in Jewish tradition, larger than life pillars, symbolizing the vaunted law and prophets. And between them, Jesus, with all three, Luke writes, speaking of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Now, keep in mind, mere verses before this reading, Jesus is quoted as saying, "The Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected and be killed, and on the third day be raised." That's the Christian paradox, right? That on the mountaintop, Jesus becomes dazzling white. Moses and Elijah appear in glory. And at the very pinnacle of this sparkling, surreal instant of what does Jesus speak? Suffering, rejection. You see, Jesus has a way of keeping his eye on the prize. He hasn't gotten derailed or distracted by the glitz and glamour of the mountaintop. But for mere mortals like Peter, James, and John, mere mortals like us, it's probably somewhat of an understatement to say we don't always want to hear what Jesus has to say. Now, wait a minute, Lord, you don't really mean. I kind of like this transfigured, sparkling, high, glorious stuff. Or, in the words of St. Peter, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah." Those dwellings, or tents, as the New Revised Standard footnote indicate, have to do with the Jewish holiday Sukkot, or the Festival of Booths, which connected to both the Israelites' exodus from Egypt and to the sheer abundance of harvest time. Our closest American parallel might be Thanksgiving. But in short, it's a feast, it's a party. And one way of reading Peter's suggestion is almost as if to say to Jesus, "It's just fantastic up here. How about we hang out and enjoy it for a while?" But you know, the reading appointed for this Sunday has a second part, which our lectionary schedule calls optional. Now, I realize we can't read all the Bible in one Sunday or even all of the Gospel of Luke. But I gotta say, I wonder if Jesus would have said that part of the reading is optional. Because that passage continues on the next day. the next day, when they came down from the mountain, a great crowd met Jesus. Now, to me this week, it sounded just like that inbox that greeted me on Monday morning. You ever been there with work on any Monday, literal or figurative, when you just came back from a break, your head's not in it? And I don't know about you, but that piled up inbox sometimes makes me a little cranky. In today's gospel lesson, the crowd is bringing to Jesus a boy to heal. "Teacher, I beg you to look at my son." And it's like the Monday morning from hell. Pardon me, but literally, this boy is foaming and convulsing and demon-possessed. And as if channeling our own Monday morning post-vacation, post-mountaintop cantankerousness, Jesus answers, "You faithless and perverse generation, how much longer must I be with you and bear with you? Bring your son here." But in the end, Jesus ultimately heals that poor boy. And Luke editorializes, "Everyone was amazed at all that he was doing." So how do we make sense of these events today and for our lives in the world? I'd like to propose just a few things. Jesus gives us mountaintop highs in this life and in our lives of faith, but that's not all he gives to us. He also gives us a calling to use everything he gives us, both the highs and the lows, to serve God and neighbor, and most especially that neighbor in need. He also models for us not just the glory and power found in being the very Son of God, but in using that God-given power by giving it away, by opening his arms to all people on the cross. Remember that passage when Jesus was tempted by the devil? It's actually coming up in a few weeks as we begin Lent. The devil who told him he could use all that power to test God and lord it over others. But Jesus is famously quoted as renouncing such self-centered, self-aggrandizing abuses of God's power. Instead, he shows us that divine power and our own is not to be hoarded or abused, but to be used faithfully and even given away in God's service. That is what it means to read not only the mountaintop transfiguration story, but to read that story together with the one that follows it, where Jesus is immediately confronted with the hurts and needs of this world and moved to respond. Bearing all that in mind, we are reminded today that God is present to and an intimate part of all of life, both the highs and the lows, and that God calls us to follow and serve throughout our earthly journeys. It means we can't stay forever on the mountaintop, and we can't feast every day like it's Thanksgiving. And yes, even amidst our cantankerous cases of the Mondays, we are still empowered and sent by Christ to love and give and serve in his most holy name. After all, when Jesus taught the people about his own journey to and through death, he called still others to follow in that both glorious and terrible way. "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will save it." No doubt, it is a high calling. But like Moses coming down the mountain with the tablets, perhaps we can take something with us. A souvenir, if you will, from our own mountaintops, something which can remind us of all that God has given us and continues to give us, something which can remind us of our role as disciples charged with loving God and neighbor, not just on the summit, but in life's dips and valleys the same. So consider this morning, or as you go about your week, in times of quiet or prayer, what are those mountaintops to which you've been? And how was God a part of them? For that matter, what are your valleys? And can you find God there too? What are the neighbors and needs around you? And what souvenirs has God gifted you to carry with into your own valleys, into those places of need, all along life's journey, to remind you of his love and presence and call in your life? My most recent experience was this, as I alluded to already, was my literal Monday this week. And I think it was really the inspiration reading the text and trying to put all of this together for this sermon. On the bumpy road back from vacation, I reluctantly got back to my own 9-to-5 work as a Northwell psychologist. Headachy and kind of out of it, I saw a patient. I felt kind of ho-hum about that first session, and I know I wasn't at my best. I don't know that I worked any miracles that day, but I showed up. And I believe Jesus calls us, along with Peter and James and John, to show up. He'll help us out when we fall short. He does so in this reading. But he calls us to show up on those Monday mornings when we're tired and cranky and just plain don't feel like it. Maybe it helps, if we can, to remember our highest highs, to carry our souvenirs of faith, or in any case, to offer whatever we have, whatever we can, to take a look like Jesus does at that young boy in need. So as we remember the transfiguration today and the healing which followed it, as we consider the mountain and the valley, may we remember both God's blessings and that call. And may God strengthen us to follow. Amen.